All right, we're back. Jeff.
Ben.
It's Lancaster.
That was a big test for me.
Aaron Lee. That wasn't a delay in your video.
I mean, I did miss last week.
Oh, so you're claiming some rust?
Yeah. Thank you.
I think our guests that we're going to bring on in a little bit know all about rust.
In some cases. That could have been a good transition.
It could have been.
Yeah. But we're not ready for that.
Not ready yet. Yeah. No. Yeah. So if you're feeling a little off today, it's probably a good reason. We had our clocks move ahead and time change. And clocks moving ahead in the spring typically feels like we ushered in spring. But where I live, we had like snow squalls. Did you have snow squalls yesterday?
It was crazy. Like whiteout.
And so I said to Ben, as we were kicking off the show, the intro was playing, I'm going to make Ben giggle a little bit. So
I don't know what's coming.
As I'm working in my office, I was doing some work yesterday afternoon on the computer, and I look out the window and it's just like a whiteout. And so musically, I'm more like country rock, occasional hip hop. But the song that pops into my mind as I'm still kind of jet lagged, which ties into my sleep better tip later from the clock change. And that is true. There is an equivalency there. And I'm looking out the window and it's March 10th. And we've set our clocks ahead, which is kind of the unofficial intro of spring. It's snow squalls. The song that pops into my mind is Rick Ross's The Devil Is a Lie. And I'm kind of singing like, clock change is a lie, right? And the beat's going in my head. And then I went to Pandora and put it on.
Can you sing a bar or two?
We're a family-friendly show, and Rick Ross isn't exactly the most family-friendly. And I can't.
But your version, because you changed the word.
All I know is just The Devil Is a Lie, and that it's a big bass drop of the beat, and then it repeats, and it's a cool song because thematically it's all about and lyrically it's all about the temptations that are put in front of you are often not the promises they were meant to be. They turn out to be worse. So it's actually a good song. It's meant from a good place, and I'm sure in Rick Ross's heart. Maybe this gets to Rick Ross someday. That'd be cool. But no, it's not a Lancaster Connects friendly song.
No. Gotcha. No. Yeah, and plus, if we played it or sang it, we'd get a copyright.
We'd get a strike.
Some sort of infringement. Right. Episode would be lost forever, and we can't have that happen to her.
I think we're fixing to have a good one.
It's going to be a great show.
Yeah. So you didn't like the snow either, huh?
It didn't bother me. It was just like, now, if I would have been driving through it, that would have been probably not fun or scary. Because I've been in a snow squall before, and that is not cool. Because like out of nowhere, just
caught in on a scooter.
Oh gosh,
he was scooting home from the gym.
And what did he do when he got home? Was he just what happened?
His face was very red and it was very wet, and he was cold. Yeah,
he's like wind
scooting around windburn. 15 miles an hour with windburn. He's 20 years old, folks. It's not like he's 12. He's 20 years old. Well, we'll be 20 years old this weekend or next week. And he's a teenager, young man, figuring life out. Kudos to him because he does that. So he saves money on gas, which is great for him, his pocketbook.
Now, I got to ask, in typical teenager fashion, his generation for sure, was he wearing shorts and a t-shirt?
No, him and his brother do the hoodies.
Okay. But shorts.
No, he had sweatpants.
Oh, he had sweatpants. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I feel like that's what kids do. They'll wear a long sleeve sweatshirt, no jacket.
Yeah, but he had shorts. But he had the prison slides on that the kids think are so popular today.
Okay.
I don't know if your teenagers wear these things, but they look like prison shoes. And they're like not cheap. Unless you get them from Temu.
Better than Crocs.
I guess. I think Crocs are formal compared to these things. But yeah, if you look around your local teenager, they got prison slippers on.
Prison slippers.
It's basically what they look like to me.
I'll have to check it out.
So anyway, we're going to have a great show because we've got some, your unusual social media like superstars. Mm-hmm. We're bringing up their socials like 400,000 views and 300,000 views. And, I don't know how for them all those views correlate, internet points correlates to impact in the community or dollars in the bank account for their business, but I'm sure they'll tell us. So unless you have anything else to add, I think it's time
I think we used up our 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Effectively.
Quickly. Yeah. Gave you a little lyrical jam to think about. Sod Metal Recycling. Welcome to the show, Dan and Todd. Appreciate you being here.
We're very lucky. I mean, all I have to say is if we can take this from Prison Shoes and the Rick, the Boss Ross, any direction, I hope we can only live up to the beginning. What do you think, bud?
Yeah, for sure. I'm just happy you guys are having us. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
So maybe on that musical note, what's the music you guys like to jam out to while you're doing all things metal recycling?
Oh, you start that
one. I'll start because I think I heard country something and a little bit of hip hop. I am
country rock and hip hop. Yeah.
Everywhere. I go from like Christian music to hip hop to 80s. Debbie Gibson was my first concert. Rod Stewart's where my wife and I met. So I'm cheesy and a mess.
You're forgetting your favorite person.
J. Cole. Of course, the hip hop, but but again, like you said, with the song, the meaning is what really matters. And a lot of times there's a lot of spirituality hidden in things that people will typecast as not good. Because it's not a language that we speak with usually. How about you?
I'm a mix between rap and country. I'm a big fan of Luke Combs. My cousin got me into that in high school. And like, I like Jay-Z, Kanye West. I grew up listening to that with my dad. So those are my favorites.
That's cool.
Very good.
So, we're going to get into all things Sod Metal Recycling, all about, how the business got started, what you guys do, how you impact the community. We want to talk about your podcast, Dumpster Talk, and what that's all about. But just kind of like an icebreaker question. We want to know what the craziest thing, and you guys might each have your own answer. What's the craziest thing you've ever seen somebody try to recycle?
Craziest thing.
I mean, I'm sure there's like just some off the charts, like oddball things.
It's interesting because we're a pretty clean scrapyard in the way we process. So we don't take cars and we don't take some things that other people might take. We don't take catalytic converters. So right out of the gate, that takes your element away. So we're more industrial scrap, but I will say, there's so many possible answers that are coming into my head. We've had samurai swords. We've had, just stupid stuff. What would you say yours?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is, the brass head we got, the statue.
Yes.
I think it was like an Indian statue. We got a brass head that was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. But it's random.
Yeah, so like, why would somebody get rid of a sword? I mean, like,
I don't know. A lot of times what happens is a lot of people now go to auctions, buy the things they want and scrap what's left. That's what a lot of people are trying to flip money and flip things, try to find a way to make an easy buck. And that's somehow, or inheritance, things like
that. House cleanouts are big.
Yeah.
You find some crazy stuff when you're cleaning out like an old relative's home or something like that.
Yeah, from a grossness level, like you've never seen anything so gross as a bunch of old pie plates. Like the smell is pretty bad. Yeah, would you say that the pie plate?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot worse in the summer.
Yes.
So we have that to look forward to coming up soon.
Yeah.
So the cold freezes out all the bad smells.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It still gets in there though. Don't worry. A lot of times, interestingly, actually one of the most scary things we've had happen here is we do a lot of plant cleanups and things like that. And we had some chocolate in some pipes and one of our employees, Merv, loves chocolate. He was eating the chocolate out of the pipe in the scrap here. Yeah, your mouth just opened on that, didn't it? And I know Merv would like this shout out. He'd be very excited about that.
Shout out.
But the sight of that was enough to send me reeling.
That's like a Seinfeld episode, the eclair on the top of the
chocolate. Yeah.
Yes. The Entenmann's on the end of the aisle.
Yeah, let's get Merv on the show. Go grab
him. You would love Merv on the show.
That needs to be a part two in itself.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. And so what is it about recycling that people often misunderstand, have a misconception about, or you want to dispel the biggest myth?
I don't know. I would say like the recycled materials industry as a whole kind of had a bad look for a long time. There wasn't a lot of information, like not too many people knew about it unless they were in it. But now I feel like it's kind of getting away from that. And people are like, we have customers come through every day saying, we're just bringing this. We don't want money. We just don't want it to go to the landfill. So yeah. It's just like little stuff like that. And we'll teach our customers like what we do, like when we bale it, we'll sell it and they'll process it. I don't know, personally, before I started working here, I never really understood the recycling process. But now it's cool to kind of see how this scrap will turn into a finished process.
And I think for me, a lot of times people only think about what they have in scrap in their house. What people don't realize is we are about 85% industrial recycling. So demolition, just any kind of plant that starts with a flat sheet of steel, punches it out, gives us the skeleton back, and then we go full circle. So there's a new product created on that end. And then we're taking those skeletons and things, chopping them up, reselling them, and melding it down to create a new product out of the scraps. So I think a lot of people don't have an awareness of, first of all, how blessed we are in Lancaster County and surrounding area to have so much manufacturing and so much fabrication and industry. But a lot of the recycling we do is serving industry. More where you work than where you live, in a sense.
Yeah. So when you are recycling, and I guess the way my brain phrases it, upcycling then,
yes,
you're taking those scraps and turning it back into something new and usable. Are you like melting that down, reforming it at your facility, or is it getting sent out and forged or melted back elsewhere?
No one would trust any of us with any of that. No, that's being done elsewhere. So
yeah.
For us, that we are, our whole existence is to be the part of the supply chain that gets things in the right chemistry, in the right size and shape for an end user to use. If it wasn't for us, there would be no way for companies to recycle, because the end user, I'll give you an example, ASC Foundry or Donsco, which they're both a mile away from us, Cleveland Cliffs, which is a steel mill in Stilton and Coatesville, all those end users need to buy in 40,000 pound increments, and they have specifications on chemistry, sizing. You're looking at bales right now of aluminum cans, which everyone loves. I mean, that's just a great visual. They smell too in the summer too, by the way.
Oh, sure.
Exactly. But those aluminum cans will go to Tennessee and get melted down into sheets that create new aluminum cans. Copper can go as far as China. So at our dock, we could be sending something to China or a mile away to Anvil or Donsco in this area. So our stuff can really go all around the world based on who's the best to process it.
Wow, interesting. You know, there's a connection here to what we do here in the mattress store at Gardner's Mattress & More, where we broadcast Lancaster Connects from. And that's in the bed frame steel. That's in your bed frame.
Absolutely.
I was just commenting on a consumer forum on Reddit that, you know, certain types of platform risers that you might buy online, you have to be very careful of the metal content. It's what I call pot metal. It's like, you talk about chemistry, it's like, pot metal to me is pushing the boundaries of, you know, chemistry and making sure you're lined up alloy for alloy, carbon steel content for carbon steel content, et cetera. It's just like, it's mixed up, and ultimately long term, it breaks, it tears, it fractures, it splits and falls apart. And you wouldn't think metal could do that, but it absolutely can. And so there's connectiveness to what we do here.
Sure. And you have to be careful, because just like us, you're serving your customer, your end user. You can promise them the best night's sleep, but if the steel parts that you're using don't work, and if the, you know, there's safety issues in what you guys do, you have actually a really specialized business. And you have to make sure all the components of that meet those specifications. We are the part of the supply chain that creates the products that your manufacturers of either the rails or even the coils in your mattress.
Yeah, right over
rings.
Right there over my shoulder.
Yeah.
Those little blue things right there where my finger is waggling at. Those are coils.
I thought you were pointing to a customer trying a mattress on.
Not yet. They'll get here eventually. It's pretty common fare when we do our podcast. It's like podcast is on, customers in the door, which is great. We always want customers.
Yeah.
Do you get any old rail steel through your facility?
Yes. Yeah,
it wasn't bed frame.
We're always, you're saying bed frames?
Well, I know better quality bed frames.
You're saying the old
rail steel for the high carbon content.
Yes.
Because it's stronger.
A little bit. And it's very interesting because, like, I think for Todd's 21. When I started, everyone had a headboard. Everyone had all this stuff. I mean, it must be so, it's just so different. Your business is so different because it's more about the structure almost than the everything's in the comfort of the mattress, I would guess, correct?
Yep. That's more so how it is today. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
my old bed frame is actually in our light iron pile now, if it hasn't gotten sold yet. So,
Very good.
Yeah, Dan, mattresses aren't exactly recyclable. We've had people try to destroy them to get them to be recyclable, but that is something, and that's something with us and industry every day. Very interestingly, our association, ISRI, is our national association, which Todd's very active in. They work with manufacturers to upfront design to recycle. So we aren't in the situation like we are now with electric vehicles, where we go out, we make things, and we have no idea how to handle batteries. They are working with industry up front to design it so it can be ultimately recyclable. And it's very interesting. I'm sure that's a trend that'll probably hit your business as well. But a lot of people are doing that work on the upfront. And it's anything that can make it more sustainable is what we're really all about. And that's how we can both help our communities.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about your impact on not having things go into the landfill here at the store when we remove your old mattress from the home. You know, we have a 53-foot trailer outside that we're pretty proud of. I don't know the exact numbers, but what we can tell you and all of Lancaster is that what's not happening is emptying that trailer every couple of weeks into a landfill.
Right.
We have a gentleman that comes and he takes them and puts them up through the supply chain through his used furniture store. Cool. The rest of the stuff goes to refurbishers in North Jersey, New York City. And then there's other parts that get upcycled. The fibers and padding go into the carpet padding industry. I guess some of the steel gets maybe through a place like yours. Mm-hmm. But overall, very little makes its way to the landfill. It's just the stuff that's really rough to handle. That just doesn't, it's just easier and better. Because there is a human element to what we do, right? Mattresses catch everything. And that's the nicest, cleanest way I could make that statement. and so some of it just needs to go to the dump. But that is rare. And when it happens, it's a trailer, like a little cargo trailer, and not a 53-foot trailer. So
that's neat. It's honestly, it's wonderful because you know what? It's cheaper probably to throw it away when you factor in all the hauling and all the stuff. It's actually cheaper to do the thing that is less sustainable. So it takes effort to make things happen. On our end, we spend a lot of our days. So to kind of pivot what we do, a lot of our day is spent processing metal, sorting metal, and I have blessed to have a young crew like Todd. I have Todd, Isaiah, Alex, Mason, Dylan. We have a bunch of guys who understand that, part of the job is in the processing of the metal, and part of the job is in marketing our company and educating our community. And that's where we kind of started down this path of going down both areas. Would you say that's kind of a way to explain how we've been able to like push the marketing of what we do and how we process? Because people love to see it.
Yeah, people definitely. I don't know if you guys ever been here, but it's kind of hard to like see what this place is. I mean, you see solid metal recycling at the front. I've lived here for 21 years and the first time I was here was my first day at work. So it just gives people a good idea of what the industry actually is. So like we'll process and get this processing done for the day. And then we spend the rest of the day at networking events, marketing, just getting ourselves
very smart
with people.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just say, and then I want to ask about the generations that have been involved, you know, sage lesson there from Todd and Dan. I mean, these guys are working hard at marketing, recycling metal, not the most glamorous business, you know, not the thing people like think about often. But they're working on marketing their business. And so if you've got a business and you're checking it out, spend some time marketing your business. I know before we got on the show, we were designing a door hanger
all day. Yeah. Pretty much all day,
all morning today up to the show. It's been that kind of stuff. So good for you guys. So Todd, are you part of the third generation or are you a rising fourth generation with Saad?
So I'm not a Saad actually.
Okay. Right.
But he is.
Yeah.
He is.
Pretty much. They make me feel like I'm a Saad.
Yeah.
So how I started here, Dan is co-owner with Mike Saad, and my best friend Alex is Mike's cousin. It really started as a summer job out of high school. And then as the opportunities came, we all loved it and decided to stay.
Yeah. What we realized early, I'm third generation. So my grandfather, who died when I was one, they were immigrants from the country Lebanon in the Middle East. And it just amazes me, the immigrant story that keeps replaying itself over and over again in our country. These guys came back and forth to Lebanon multiple times. My great grandfather went all the way to San Francisco in the late 1800s and worked on the docks and sent money back. So.
Wow.
When you, and I'm sure Gardner does the same thing because you're a company that has core values and history that really started your path and really what you try to drive to every day. I always try to go back and think about how did these founders start this, not speaking English very well, and just finding a way to connect in the community. Serve the community. A lot of times these scrap metal trash, if you ever noticed, they're all usually immigrant populations that are in these fields because they're fields no one wanted to do. And then we, as the next generations, my dad made it very industrial. So he started that process where we do industrial roll-offs. And then we have tried to take it to the next level by still doing all the great things we're doing in recycling, but really having a real mission to educate the community on what we're doing, and almost sort of a just an empowerment of youth that we have here. We're very proud of that we have these guys. I laugh when people tell me Gen Z's lazy. It bothers the heck out of me. It really, really does. And I invite them to come here and spend a day and tell me the same thing. Because half the people saying that couldn't hack a day out here, in the weather. So they make me extremely proud. And that's why Mike and I have, you know, it kind of was our entree into this is let's find a way to fulfill some of these guys, you know, interests, see if they could build a career path that could include the base of what we do, and the marketing. And in all that learning, maybe we'll even stumble upon another business opportunity for ourselves.
Yeah. I want to dig deeper a little bit on what you just said about the work ethic of Gen Z and what you're doing there. You know, there was a video where we had Todd, I think it looked like you, it was quick on the screen, but it was you and three others kind of around the table. One of the guys had sunglasses on. Maybe that's part of your Dumpster Talk show. Part of your video content and marketing. You know, this is the thing. I think some educators, some parents, some grandparents see folks with a phone in their hand and feel, oh, you're just wasting time. You know, when in reality, I mean, these things are supercomputers in the palm of our hand as compared to what they used to be. And when you're focused, there's the photo I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or the video. When you're focused and engaged with something interesting, you can do an awful lot with your cell phone and you can do a lot of smart things. And as you said, Dan, build a career. So I guess, Todd, for you, a couple questions, and then Dan, the same. So, Todd, what is it about the work that engages you and your buddies? You said the cousin of the family, I forget his name, kind of brought you in. You're Alex.
Yeah.
I think Alex brought you in. Like, so what is it about the work that engages you? And what is it about the environment that Dan's created that allows you to flourish and go further than just coming in and punching the clock?
Yeah. So that's a great question. So obviously, like, I was in college at Thaddeus Stevens when I started. It was just a summer job. Like I said, I never really thought that it would be a career. When we first started off, we were torching steel, the skeleton plate, like we talked about before. We were torching that for 8 hours a day, roughly. And it was probably 90 degrees. So it was pretty hot. And it taught us a lot of lessons, at least that I needed the lessons. And then slowly as we started torching, they were teaching us, why are we torching this? They started to teach us the different, like, the prices and just, like, more info on why we're doing it, because we really had no clue why we were doing it. So as that kind of came about and we got more opportunities, we really, at least for me, I never wanted to leave. I don't plan on leaving. And the culture here in itself, I mean, I know it's easy to say, it's like cliche to say that's a family, but like, this is a true family. We do stuff outside of work all the time. And here we spend, I'm with these guys more than I'm with my family. Mm-hmm. And I love all these guys. So it's just like that. It's not work anymore. Like, it's obviously hard work, but at least I love doing it. So it's not really, I don't know, it's perfect for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic to wake up in the morning and feel excited about the day, even though you know it's going to be hard work for 8 or 9 hours or yep. however long you're there. So that mind shift at the beginning of the day is super, super important.
And all the opportunities, like, we can go to Dan and he doesn't even like when we ask at this point, because, like, it's never going to be a no. We can mess up because everyone messes up and he lets us do that, but he also helps us fix it. So I don't know. It's really just like, I'm blessed to have this place. That's why it's so fun. The marketing, I never really knew what marketing was. But I really love this place. So I love marketing it to show other people that, like, it's possible that, like, your career path might not be what you think it's going to be. Most cases, it's not going to be what you think. So just taking those opportunities. And I mean, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to do stuff you don't want to do, but ultimately it'll lead to great stuff.
And, you know, piggybacking on that, we just interviewed Jill Hackman, who I would recommend to your podcast. She's the career coordinator at Garden Spot District. Absolutely amazing. And insights for people who are interested in reaching young people who are the people who are going to be working. They're going to be your consumers. There's Jill right there. They're going to be your consumers. I mean, they're going to be the people who are your customers and your employees. And she actually brought up a really good question in this podcast, talking about someone young that she positioned. She said, is it better to have a great culture or a great field to work in? And she said, 99% of the time, after you get over the field you're working in, the glamour of it. I used to work in TV advertising sales and things like that. After you get over the glamour of the field you're working in, the biggest factor on whether people stay or leave a job is the culture and the people you work with. It is bar none, 20 times more important. And I think what everything I've observed from this generation, they believe it even more. So whatever the numbers are on old people like us, they believe it even more. And I think the people who get that and the people who understand, who instead of saying, I can't find any young people to work for me, understand the difference in saying, can't find any people, young people to work with me. I mean, it's just positioning and understanding the way they think. Because again, those are the consumers that we're going to need to appeal to in our market.
Yep. Hey, just a little pause here. I am so happy to see Jonna Hoover Green comment in. Jonna, I'm so happy you are here with us. Jono had a little bit of a little medical speed bump, I guess we could say. I want to just be fair to her privacy, but yeah, Jono, I'm glad to see you here. So thank you for commenting. Yeah, culture is important. You know, I'll put it through the lens of Todd, you just shared 5 minutes or so ago about torching metal on 90 degree days. Okay. I mean, the field culture analogy is fantastic. So if you're running a business and you've got air conditioning and you've got a ping pong table in a corner and, yeah, you know, you go out and you do the bowling, you know, team building events and you're still struggling, it's your culture.
Yep.
Right. You know, you've got access to internet, you've got some nice employee perks. You know, I guess the litmus test would be, is it torch and metal at 90 degrees? No. Well, then let your culture do more work for you. Because I love that analogy of overcoming the field. That's really cool.
And I don't know if you're spying on us, but we actually did a presentation where we did a picture and the torching is our litmus test. So very interestingly, you did that because that's a presentation we did to our national convention last year because we kind of stand out in our industry a little bit as someone really pushing these young careers. And what Tom mentioned is true. We do pick very hard jobs to screen our people with. And we understand if they have that perseverance, then we bring on the other things. I think it's an important give and take. You can't make it all about ping pong balls and rainbows. You got to have both of it. And when you get that buy-in both ways, like Todd said, we never say no. These guys have been to, like, you know, Atlantic City. They're going to a convention next week, unchaperoned, which I don't know what the hell I'm thinking, but but they've Vegas, Nashville. I mean, you can see the degenerative places all our scrap conventions are held. I guess
it's where the mattress guys go to. So, you know, it's all right.
There we go. Well, and then you have a showroom in that hotel. So depending on where do you guys have your convention?
The major for the mattress side of the furniture and mattress industry, it's in Las Vegas.
Ours is at Mandalay. Is that so? I guess it would be the same, maybe.
So there's actually a complete world market center for the furniture and mattress.
Oh man!
Entire industry. Yeah, it's about 4 million square feet. It's called the World Market Center building. Sits right off of I-15 down on the south side of town by old Vegas. Yeah. So there's some offshoot events, like our buying group actually this week has a show in Las Vegas. I think it is it might even be at Mandalay Bay.
Okay.
But the broader industry congregates there twice a year.
I see. And the other point to that is for us, those shows are amazing. Every year you come back with something. For these guys, I believe not only the industry association, but let's bring it back to Lancaster. We are part of about 6 organizations, the High Center for Family Business, Lancaster Chamber, Manufacturing Association, SME. Mm-hmm. We go to a ton of events just to learn and to network and meet people. And I'm of the opinion that if you took all these events together, you could honestly build a 2-year college business course just on the content and the experiences of meeting people. Because the other thing people always talk, you mentioned Gen Z with your phones and everything, how sometimes us older people look at that and say, oh gosh, the other stereotype is they can't talk to adults. And again, that's a practice skill. Like our parents probably, Ben and Jeff, I don't know about you, mine made me do that. And when you practice that, you can get really good at it. And that's a part in the community that we really, really believe in those associations, and not just as a plaque on the wall, but actually going to the events and learning.
Yeah. Those are great points. I mean, there's a world of information out there. You have to seek it out, right? It's just not going to come to you. That's fantastic. I want to learn more about dumpster talk specifically. So I know the plan for today was you were going to be in your dumpster outside where you do the dumpster talk podcast. So first, whose idea was it to do a podcast from a dumpster? That's just cool. Whose idea was that?
It was Dan's idea.
Yeah.
It was Dan's idea.
Yeah. Yeah. And I so, still yeah. want, I still want the mattress in your background. I will be fighting for this. I think you guys need to do it in the mattress.
So yeah, I we did a show when I was in the mattress one time.
Yeah, okay. That was right on the intro, yeah.
Once upon a mattress, one might say.
A podcast rebranding.
Oh my gosh, there we go. Come on.
So that is literally a roll-off dumpster that you've like carved out and turned into a podcast studio, right?
Yes, which my dad hated the whole concept. That
right, he's like, what are you doing?
A dumpster. Now, it was an inactive dumpster that we hadn't like used that he would have flipped, but he didn't love the idea that we were doing that. But the funny part is now he understands what we're doing with the business and in the community. Right here, you see these great guys. This is a great Columbia family that has Axel Mechanical. We just talk to everyone in the community and we learn so much. These guys have learned so much from this experience. You talk about talking to adults. Look at this. I mean,
yeah.
It's learning, it's marketing, it's like all together in one, and it just creates this momentum. And people, like, again, we're taking an impression that has a certain way. And when people think about that, they're like, oh my God, you're in a dumpster. But I mean, how much more real and authentic can you be?
And we need to get you guys in the dumpster, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm there. I was just
thinking the dumpster. But I mean, if we planned this out, we could have been there.
We could have. We will do a Rick Ross intro. Maybe we'll go. Well,
Todd knows what I'm talking about. Devil is Alive. That's a jam right there.
It is.
So the type of guests you have, like, how do you find your guests? Like I said, the type of guests you have. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I would say now we're starting to have people reach out, but it's really just people we meet at networking events. I'll know we always, when we're at events, like, we'll have people stop us saying that they love the dumpster talk. And we have anyone on. We've never said no to anyone. You can learn different stuff from any field, any person. So it's really just networking events. That's how we get most of our guests.
So you're not necessarily talking really at all about metal recycling unless it's relevant to the guest. It's just a conversation with folks, you mean?
Yep. It's all about them. We don't really talk about us at all unless we're...
Just mirroring what you're doing here. You're putting information out in the community. People learn. People like how you guys connect and act with each other. That is part of the whole thing, because that right there says these two guys like to work together. That's kind of what you want people to say about your business. So it's all we're doing is learning from other people. And that's kind of how we operate. It's actually the first step in our sales process. You guys probably have a sales process similar. Understanding the customer and learning from them.
Yep.
And not everyone is a metal customer, but people, you can learn from everyone every day. And that's how we approach things.
Yeah, love it.
So I was going to follow up the dumpster. Sorry, follow up the dumpster thing. You know, it's too windy today.
You're obsessed with the dumpster.
So where I was going with it, it's you're at the mercy of the elements. Like, it's too windy today. You couldn't be out there. But have you ever like got it started on a podcast and like all of a sudden these clouds come in, or a snow squall?
Yeah.
Like, and you get, you know, dropped on?
We had one a couple of weeks ago where it was snowing. We would be in the dumpster right now. We're not scared.
It's the wind.
We just wouldn't want it to mess with the audio.
Appreciate that. I was
scared us with all your specifications on quality.
Or
else we would have been out there.
You could tell the wind. That's all. Her in my sales class. She was so tough for sitting out there with us.
Yeah,
we're really out there in any. I don't think we've ever canceled one because of a
no.
Because that's of awesome.
You're like you're like the old post office code through rain, sleet, snow. We will podcast.
That's
except
right.
Wind. Because wind just ruins the audio. Like, I think the thing, you know, and our wonderful producer Chris from Cast Ahead is like the pro's pro at this. You know, the reason you're going to be a podcast guest on somebody's show, you know, the reason why, of all things, the audio matters most is because if people do pick this up as audio only, it's the only experience they get.
Right.
Yeah, right. You know, sound and tonality and body language really shines through on video. But when you're just listening to it on your car, or your headset, speakers, whatever, it's the only thing you got. So if it's, and then words in between, it's a rough go.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I was giggling back a few minutes ago because the first time I knew Ben for 10 years before we became business partners, because I sold things to Gardeners. Gardeners used to be a customer of mine when I was on the wholesale side of the industry.
I have no clue where you're going with this
the
story.
The
first time I'm really interacting with Ben in a retail environment is as the former Gardeners was closing. And this guy scoots into the dumpster that was at the back of the store on Roarstown Road and just begins jumping up and down to compact the cardboard down.
There's a lot of air in a dumpster.
And I'm looking at this. Now, I'm somebody that's like been through accidents and like the whole left side of my body's been broken and my whole left leg was rebuilt a year ago last February. I'm looking at this like, my God, I could never do this. This guy's going to like break something. And he just continued to do it for about a year until we grew and had more employees and me.
It's not like I did it every day. You make it sound like it was
a very common thing. But he I feel when Ben gets to your lot in your facility, it's going to be like a kid going to Disney.
Yeah, do you have a dumpster full of cardboard? Let's go.
We'll get an insurance rider on that day in particular.
Well, I've literally over the years, own a business and you have two dumpsters on your property, I'll occasionally do some home remodel projects. So one of them was a toilet. And actually, we had a flood a year or so ago and the toilet had to go. Well, the toilet was out. We put a new one in. And so I brought the old one here to the store. But that visceral memory of Ben popping into the dumpster and jumping up and down, I made sure to tell everybody here, don't go jump in the dumpster because I just threw a toilet in there and it cracked. And I don't want anybody to like sever off their ankle or something.
Like, Drew's going to hop in the dumpster.
Well, you never know. Right. I mean, listen, man.
You should.
It was an experience to see you.
Yeah.
So things I care. It's a big heart.
To worry about as a business owner, like your business partner jumping in a dumpster. God bless.
Yeah.
Well,
he's going to love this when we get out there.
We can't wait to host on that.
I'll be on the show. You'll just see Ben like in the background.
Yes.
Doing dumpster diving.
I'll take our tub. Our tub's actually overfilled right now with cardboard. So we'll put that down behind the dumpster.
For yeah, that's what I need.
That could be the intro.
Exactly.
So look, we're approaching our time together, but your social media channels. I mean, again, this is where blending guidance from second generation, or I'm sorry, third generation, blending that guidance and that expertise and their knowledge, pouring it into the younger generation and allowing the younger generation the leverage to use tools at hand, literally through cell phone and computer devices, really, really can like explode a business. So tell us about, I saw as we were in the pre-show, some of your TikToks have 400,000 views. Mm-hmm. Tell us about how you're moving all this stuff out there.
College roommate.
So
that's Ben's college roommate for everybody watching.
A shout out to our guy, Carrie. He was helping us with marketing. He goes to school at Millersville now. So he did a lot of those TikToks. It's really just making stuff different. Like nothing here is glamorous, like you guys said before, but it's different and people don't see it a lot. So for our industry, the bar is set really low for marketing. It's just really putting yourself out there and trying to be able to talk to the customer and put yourself in their shoes and kind of picture what they're seeing and what they would want to see. It's difficult. Not every video is going to do 400,000 views, but it's it's nice because once one does, you can kind of see why it did that and then try to replicate it. But Carrie, shout out to Carrie.
These guys all, and what you see here, there's no dancing and nonsense. This is honestly just information.
I was just going to say that.
It's all informational. We're talking about copper prices. We're talking about, metal. We're talking about how we do things. We're educating our customer. And that I think any business can take, but But the point, Jeff, that you made that I think that was most important is a lot of times people look at mentoring as something the old people do for the young. I insist on mentoring being a two-way mentoring because mm-hmm. I've learned more from them than I have taught them. And what I love about this is they have pushed me into areas that I wouldn't be comfortable with or wouldn't know. But it's you positioned it really well, giving these guys the freedom to teach me while I'm teaching them. And I think Mark Perez is kind of the smartest guy in the room with his, you know, wondering about the dumpster. Mark, you can hit Ben up later and make fun of him later.
So, I mean, that's just awesome. Can we borrow Carrie? Dan, can we borrow Carrie to show us how to do the TikTok properly?
Carrie can, but I'll tell you, these other guys, Isaiah, Todd, Alex, they all understand it. It's really, so again, it's understanding how to connect with people and they're going to want to learn anything if you can connect with them the right way.
Yeah, I love it. Man, I've thoroughly loved our time together. When your name came across, I'm like, this will be an interesting one. Metal recycling. Let's see how we make that connect to the community. And I mean, you know, we touched on it as we started. Sod Metal Recycling handles all of your industrial cleanouts as far as metal recycling goes. Hit them on their social. RecycleYourMetal.com is their website. We have all their social channels here with the notes. You know, if you think you have something for them, if you think you can bring things to them, reach out to them through any one of the channels. They're active on all of them, which is another smart lesson. Meet your customer where they're at, and you can get your questions answered. And they'll shoot you straight because you get to meet them here, and you'll know exactly who you're working with when you get on site, get to their facility. Gentlemen, just have loved our time together today. I think we have a couple more questions in our connection cocktail for you. Just get to peel back the layers of Dan and Todd.
We should, I think you said Columbia, but we should specify where your location is. I think it's on 462 as you kind of come into Columbia. Is that right?
Go ahead.
Yep. So it's right where you come into Columbia. If you're coming from Lancaster, it'll be on your right side. A lot of people know Smith's Hotel right across the street. So we're just on the other side of the street as them.
Great cheesesteak, Smith's Hotel.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's kind of dovetails into my first question. Well, my question, and then Ben has one for you. So what is your favorite Lancaster eats?
You go.
I'm actually going to do Lancaster City for this one. So I'm a big fan of Spanish food. So La Cocina, next to the Lancaster Chamber Building. That's my favorite restaurant in Lancaster, I would say.
All right. And is there a specific dish that's like?
Yes. Rice and beans with a piece of chicken, dark meat. And if you're feeling hungry, you got an empanada, beef and cheese.
So many great places here. I mean, for Italian Ciro's, absolutely love.
That's at the airport, right?
Ciro's is off Fruitvale Pike.
Yes, yeah. Fruitvale Pike. But I think I would have to go Mexican, but El Serrano's.
Great choice.
Classic chicken fajitas. I could do that every single time.
Yep.
But so many great places. We're really blessed. How about you guys?
Turning the tables? I don't know. Is this allowed?
It is allowed. That's right. You eat out of the dumpster. That's it.
So I'm gonna go back. So since my buddy Cheech here from college reached out, I'm gonna go back to college on this one, this pick. And this is a favorite for you too. The Sugar Bowl Stromboli. Now I can't eat them anymore because I'm not gluten intolerant, but I have a thing against gluten with my
It's just something he says he is. Points, but
the Sugar Bowl Stromboli, and we actually have an employee now who knows how to make a Sugar Bowl Stromboli. He worked for Sugar Bowl,
right?
The late 90s, the Sugar Bowl Bowli drained my bank account my first semester in college.
Sounds so good.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I like John J. Jeffries for a real nice finer dining experience.
Okay. So you got Sugar Bowl and John J. Jeffries.
just the opposites there. But like anywhere I could get a good cheesesteak. So the place behind, it's on Cravings Deli.
Okay. Yeah.
It's off Oregon Pike.
Cravings, you said?
Yeah. Cravings Deli, yeah.
We used to eat there every day after, well, not every day, but once a week after football. That place is amazing.
Yeah, they make a good cheesesteak, really good cheesesteak there. And so I always like getting out there when I get the time to get that way. Yep.
What's the best pizza in like in our area? What do you guys say the best pizza?
Caruso's, I think, is a big favorite of a lot of folks. I know when I, way back in my career, in my mobile DJing days, we would get Caruso's. That would probably be my vote.
Yeah, there's a place off of Oregon Pike near my house that's called Salt and Pepper. They make a pretty good
pizza. Oh, yeah, it's a good place. Yeah. I'm a huge Nino's fan. Back to your Millersville.
Okay, thing. Yeah.
Nino's in Millersville. I love. Yeah. Yep. Huge.
Yep, good pizza there.
Very good. One last question. If you could do anything else for a living, what would it be?
Mm-mm. Oh, wow. That's different. If I could do anything.
While he's thinking, I went to Syracuse to be a sports broadcaster. That's how I ended up in TV. But I had a face for radio. So after like one day, TV was off the limits. And then they shoved me into production and I couldn't do any of that well. So then they were like, why don't you try advertising? So because I started and wanted to do it, I ended up there and gravitated to that. And I love selling TV ads. Actually, I used to, one of my mattress discounters in DC was like one of my biggest customers ever.
Yep.
Until our TV station decided to do an expose and try to burn mattresses. And unfortunately, theirs split up and I never saw another dollar. Mattress discounters. Mm-hmm. So that's why I got back.
Was that around 2007?
Yeah. Why? How do you? Okay. No, it was before because I left in 2005. So it was around 2003.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So then, So there was lead. So 2007 was when mattresses had to become fire retardant to the federal flame standard in December 2007. So probably your incident probably was, or experience there was probably the talk leading up to that final.
Absolutely. Yes, yeah. I was so blessed that mine was my company was the one that blew up. In the newsroom, they didn't give a darn about us sales reps. They're like, whatever. Yeah. So how about you, Bud? What would you do?
This will probably surprise you, but I'll say if it could be anything in the world, a stand-up comedian with my own podcast.
Nice.
I would say that.
Well, he's on his way. He just met, who'd you meet?
Theo Vaughn. My fiance got me tickets for Christmas and I was upset because she paid too much, but then we met him afterwards. So it made it all worth it. Making people laugh. I mean, people have hard lives sometimes. So just make people laugh.
That's cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. All right, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
Oh, so much. Thank and the you. Return trip will get booked very quickly.
I love it.
Thank you guys so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks to everyone who watched.
Yep. Yeah, thanks for stopping by the show, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Yeah, you too. All right, man. Wow.
Like, that's a fun show.
Metal recycling. We had like a great show. Fantastic. Lots to learn from those guys doing things right over there at Sod Metal Recycling. So if you are connected to a building that needs to be torn down or you got a remodel or a renovation, and you need to get rid of some of that stuff, they are the people to call for sure. If you have questions about where to get rid of things, certainly reach out to them. RecycleYourMetal.com, Sod Metal Recycling Services, right here in Lancaster, 1041 Lancaster Avenue, heading into Columbia.
Great, very nice.
Great guys, great team.
Yeah.
Great company culture. Somebody to pay attention to if you're running a business.
Oh, 100%.
Get in their circle. They told you where they hang out. Watch the episode, you'll find out where, and you'll get to meet him. So my sleep better tip for the day is, I need to make a note of this because we're sharing these out, repurposing that content like the very smart people over at Sod Metal Recycling do. But we pull this one out specifically. So my sleep better tip for you relates to changing back the clocks. So did you know that when you change your clocks an hour, in this case, we went forward, coming off of falling back in the fall, that can equate to feeling like you got about 6 hours of jet lag. And that is the way I'm feeling. If that can take, for some people, up to a whole week to catch up.
Yeah.
So this is why maintaining a regular sleep routine, trying to go to bed the same time every night and waking up at the same time every morning is so important, because you can really give yourself that feeling of jet lag and that grogginess by deviating from your sleep schedule. But the 1 hour loss thing has been scientifically proven to show about 6 hours of taking a flight and having 6 hours of jet lag, 6 hours of time zone change is what it can feel like.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you say that, because last night we got to about 9:30, 10 o'clock when we start to wind down and we're like, we're not tired. Like, oh yeah, our bodies think it's 8:30, 9 o'clock. So
yeah, what's funny is our dogs never get it. They're just always like, they're up earlier than you want. And they want to stay up later than you want. Anyway, they don't have clocks, but we do. If you want great sleep tips like that to help your sleep, and that is what we are about here, is really helping people live a more productive life through a better night's sleep, so they're happier, more productive when they wake up in the morning, ready to face the day and make it amazing. We'll send you our book, Sleep Better. Go to gardenersmattressandmore.com/sleep-better. We'll get you your copy in the mail.
Testimonial time for Gardeners Mattress and More. We got a handwritten testimonial that came in sometime last week. Yes, in the mail with an envelope with
old school style.
Old school. We always ask on this form, how was your overall experience with Gardeners and would you refer others to us? And Deborah said, yes, I do. It was very positive. Her experience was very positive. I've been referring friends and clients for years and should have bought all my mattresses from you. So thank you, Deborah, for investing in a better night's sleep.
Yep. And for referring.
Sorry, the other mattresses might not be up to par.
Hey, Deborah, you can make that up and buy mattresses for other people if you want.
She could.
We're open to that.
Yep. Thank you for the handwritten testimonial. Thank you for your business. And I hope that's a lesson to people. You know, buy all your mattresses from Gardeners and you'll be fine. You know, sleep well, right?
That's right. Love it. We have got a spring clearance event on the horizon. You don't need for us to formally announce it as a listener of the show. You get the privilege to have some insider ball. And so reach out to us. We will be populating all that information on our channels, website, social media, etc. But we have a lot to clear out, about $138,475 worth of mattresses to sell for half off. And we will love to see you get an amazing mattress in your home at a discount price. So if now's the time and you're a little flexible on your comfort and support, maybe a little flexible on your size, we've got some amazing deals for you here in the spring cleaning, because we have some equally incredible things to bring in and we need to make room. And that's not a lie. It's like, we can show you. We're out there in our warehousing trailers. We're bursting at the seams. Yep. So it is time to move this stuff into your bedroom. And we'd love to help you do that. I think that's the show.
That's the show.
One. Yeah. I'm like energized. Those guys were fantastic.
I can't wait to go to the dumpster.
I know. You like, as soon as I knew we were doing a dumpster, and I just had to tell the dumpster jump story.
That's so funny. I don't think of it like that. I think it was like normal that I would get in the dumpster and jump down the cardboard. But to you, that was an event.
I mean, normal is a way to describe it, but it was a very interesting, eye-opening thing to watch.
Yep.
Maybe we'll have to get Chris some of that footage and put that in the intro. A little taste of what goes on here at Gardeners.
Let's do it.
All right. Love it. Thank you for watching. As always, we'll see you next week on Lancaster Connects. Take care.